Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe, another gigantic move in the NFL yesterday that came seemingly out of nowhere. The Kansas City Chiefs trading Tyreek Hill to the Miami Dolphins in exchange for 5 draft picks, a 2022 first rounder, second round pick this year as well, fourth round pick, plus a fourth and sixth rounder in 2023 as well. So 5 draft picks going back the other way to Kansas City, Tyreek Hill going to the Miami Dolphins. What do you think of the trade, the price that Miami gave up to get Tyreek Hill, and how much weaker are the Kansas City Chiefs today without Tyreek Hill as to how they fit in the AFC picture in your mind?
I think they're almost going to be unrecognizable. And I know some people will say, come on, you know, Mahomes, Kelce, you know, Mahomes can make a lot of receivers look good. And Mahomes is great, don't get me wrong, but that threat of Tyreek Hill and what it did to defenses. Now, granted, we did see defenses last year successfully deal with that for stretches of season and get after Mahomes. And we saw, look what the Titans did to that offense in this stadium.
Yep.
Pretty amazing. But then you saw, you brought it up earlier on the show, like Tyreek Hill against Buffalo, like he just dominated and took over the game, you know, and that speed, that combination of Mahomes extending plays and just being able to make ridiculous throws and Tyreek Hill being able to separate from anyone was so lethal. And I'm really interested to see what it means in Miami. And right now Kansas City is my fourth place pick in the AFC West. I know some people would also scoff at that, but they're my fourth place pick.
Yeah. I mean, look, first off, the division's ridiculous. I think we know that anyway, but I'm not having Tyreek Hill. I mean, to me, that changes what they are offensively, because the big thing is, how do you pay enough attention to Tyreek Hill and to Travis Kelce as well? And that's kind of the dilemma you're in as a defense. Now, they have signed Juju Smith-Schuster, and he's a good player. I mean, he's not Tyreek Hill, and certainly nowhere near the speed that Tyreek Hill brings to the table. I mean, that's the thing. Like, if you end up one-on-one against Tyreek Hill, he's just going to torch you. I mean, it happened time and time again, and you have Travis Kelce over the middle. Now, I look at this Kansas City team without that guy, that speed that he brings to the table. It just changes what they are offensively. Now, they still have Mahomes. They still got Kelce. They've got Juju Smith-Schuster. They've got Andy Reid. There's a lot that I still like about the Chiefs, and we'll see what they do with the draft picks. I'm sure at least one of them will be pretty high on a receiver as well. So they're going to have some weapons. But to me, this is a big deal in the AFC, because with everything that had happened with – you know, Russell Wilson going to Denver and Deshaun Watson going to Cleveland and all these different things that have taken place. Devontae Adams to the Raiders. I mean, if I had to pick somebody in the AFC, I'd probably go Buffalo 1. I'd probably, until yesterday, would have still had Kansas City at 2. And now, like, Kansas City's not 2 anymore to me. To me, this is a pretty big deal in the AFC with Tyreek Hill going to Miami. Now, I don't know that necessarily means that Miami's all of a sudden going to be like this, you know, dominant team in the AFC East either, but I am interested in that offense with Jalen Waddle as well. That's a whole lot of speed at wide receiver for Miami. I'm interested to see how they try to take advantage of that.
Yeah, I mean, I actually want to watch the Miami Dolphins play football this fall. That was not the case before this trade was made.
Well, I wanted to watch them for no other reason than they have a high school chemist as their head coach, but...
Speaking of, hello, young kids.
Yes.
He wouldn't make it on the 6. No way.
He would not.
Come on, Michelle. You got something? No? No, but they're like, they actually want to watch the Miami Dolphins play football now. And, yeah, Tua, you got to let it rip. Tua's got, look, I don't know what Tua's going to be, and I don't know what all has gone down there, and he's been hurt, and he's been underwhelming, kind of disappointing. Tua has the arm to take advantage of Tyreek Hill. I know he does. I mean, anybody watch him in college, like Tua has the tools to take advantage of this. So here's like if he can't make this work, then I think we have our answer on Tua.
Does this move to get Tyreek Hill maybe suggest to you that Stephen Ross is like potentially interested in winning this time around? Do we think
he'll actually pay his coach to win games?
Yes,
for a change,
which is legal.
Yes, that's right.
It is. Dennis on the text line says, "Why was Kansas City willing to trade Tyreek Hill?" This coming from Dennis on the text line.
Well,
it's just the money.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like, I mean, basically, and a lot of this reporting, I mean, there's been quite a few people who've weighed in. Of course, I'm looking at Nate Taylor's piece of The Athletic. He had a lot of information on this about, you know, really just a player management flap over the contract, which happens. And, again, look, this is – what was the tweet yesterday? Someone tweeted out, tough day for those who the whole cap is fake crew, you know, yesterday. I mean, it's just like there's still limitations. There are still guidelines and boundaries in play here, okay? Just like Charles Robinson's piece that we talked about earlier about these teams with the quarterbacks with massive percentages of the cap are losing players that they desperately don't want to lose. But if you're in the situation where the Chiefs are, you know, do you want to move forward with a disgruntled player, or do you get a lot of value out of, you know, moving him? And they chose the latter, and I can't blame them.
I can't blame them. I'm interested to see what this what they do with it. Because, look, do I think Tyreek Hill is the best receiver in the league? Probably not, although he is getting paid like it right now with the extension he signed, 4 years, $120 million. 72.2 of which guaranteed by the Dolphins. Could he possibly be the most electrifying receiver in the league? I think yes. Like the speed that he brings to the table, nobody else approaches his speed.
Well, I think he's the scariest receiver in the league.
Yeah.
So I think Davante Adams is the best receiver in the league. And so if you went by just purely all-around assessment of skills and everything you bring to the table, Davante Adams should be the highest-paid receiver in the NFL. Of course, you know, we know how it goes. You know, whoever gets the latest deal sets the market. But I think Tyreek Hill is the scariest, and you could argue he's the second best.
Yeah.
After Adams. But he is – I don't think there's a week goes by. Here and there, a team gets caught. But I think weekly – defensive coordinators facing the Chiefs, I think more even than Kelsey. Like, you have to have a plan, and you have to do things that you normally don't do because you're facing Tyreek Hill. I think that's every single week in the NFL, and it will continue to be. So right there tells you his value.
So in your mind, is Kansas City's window to win a Super Bowl at the moment, is it still open? Is it closed with Tyreek Hill gone? They do have Mahomes. So it's hard for me to close that window. But what do you think of their chances to win? Like, do you think – I need to look at the odds and see how it's taken a hit. But do you think that they're still going to be discussed among the AFC favorites?
Yeah, I can't close it. You can't close it with Mahomes at quarterback. And they still have a lot of good football players. So I'm not closing. But to me now, they're one of the teams now. They're one of the teams. And we'll see what they do. They're going to do things to fill that spot. They're going to – I think certainly I'd expect them to draft receiver high. So they're going to work on this and add some pieces and be very good, I think. But they're just a team now. I mean, they're just a good team now. They're not – because I'm with you, it's still like the conversation before this happened, the conversation I think starts with the Chiefs and the Bills, even before the Bengals to me at this point, although that's close.
Well, I'm looking on FanDuel Sportsbook right now. They still have the second highest odds to win the AFC, to win the AFC title on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Buffalo at 1 at plus 350, Kansas City at 2 at plus 500.
That's the opposite of a good value. Avoid that.
You want to take a guess of where the Titans are on this list?
7th?
It's a good guess. They are tied at 7th with Indy, so plus 1,300 for the Titans. The Bills, the Chiefs, the Chargers, the Broncos, the Browns, the Ravens, and the Bengals. So I guess they're tied for 8th. I couldn't read there properly. Tied for 8th.
Tied
Browns,
for eighth.
Browns, Ravens, Bengals, Colts, all ahead of them. The Browns being at plus 1,000 is interesting to me. Not knowing what's going to happen with Deshaun Watson and, like, is he going to be out of football for 6 games?
Right. Or more. It could be more. Yeah. Yeah.
Could be nothing.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's a tough one. But I'm not surprised that they've moved, obviously, since that acquisition, because you expect him to play some. I mean, what's he going to be in that offense after having not played football for a long time? You snap your fingers and he's great? Maybe. Maybe not.
I don't know. Ron on the text line says, I know I've been saying this for weeks, that the Titans need to upgrade on the backup quarterback position. Now Baker and Jimmy G are both better than Woodside, and neither one will get a starting job. So why not make some conversations with both? Just saying, I believe we need a good, proven backup.
Because you can't afford the salary for a backup quarterback to be that high.
It's as simple as that.
You don't have the cap space. And yes, cap space is a thing.
I still don't believe that Baker Mayfield's not going to be a starting quarterback. Jimmy G, I don't know what's going to happen with Jimmy G. I think San Francisco is probably looking around, just throwing their hands up in the air right now. Like, is he still going to be on the Niners?
I don't know. And, you know, the thing is, the Niners, you know, I mean, the Niners are, obviously, they're looking forward to going into the Trey Lance era. And, it's just hard to know. I don't think it was, like, discouraging what we saw from Trey Lance last year. But I think it's certainly worth wondering if he's going to be ready to come right in and be really good. I mean, it may not be terrible to have Jimmy G around, you know? That's a lot of money that you could have open up if you didn't have him around. But I'm starting to wonder. 2QB system in San Fran? Not their plan, that's for sure.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Bill, hang with us on the phone line. We'll get to you coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals to check out Nashville's best deals. Right now, there are deals for half off to the Woodhouse Spa, the Mainstay, and Brooklyn Bowl. Check out Nashville's best deals now at thegamenashville.com/deals. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and welcome in Bill from Nashville, who wants to weigh in. Bill, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey, guys. First time caller, long time listener. How you guys doing this morning?
We're great. Good. Thanks, Bill. Thanks, appreciate Bill. You.
Hey, Joe, I heard you say a comment. I'm a long time Dolphins fan all the way back to the late Bob Greasy days. You made a comment about Tua's arm. He had the arm to take advantage of Tyreek Hill. Now, granted, Tua had a weak offensive line last year. But watching him in several games, at least 3 or 4 times, I would see him actually flush out the pocket, have a wide receiver 8 or 10 yards up, wide open, and he would actually bounce the ball in the dirt a couple of times. You can dunk and dink all you want to, take those little packages out of the backfield and 5 or 6 yards over the middle. But eventually you're going to have to stretch the field, and I don't know much information on Teddy Bridgewater, but I'd see Tua on a short leash next year with hopefully a stronger arm behind him with Bridgewater. And I hang up and listen to you guys' opinion, and thanks for the show. Bye.
Hey, thanks for the call, Bill. We appreciate it. I mean, there's no question about it. When you look at their offense last year, I mean, it was a lot of short passing. I mean, we talked about that when the Titans played the Dolphins last year. The passing game was basically their running game. It was a short passing attack, and that's what they did. I mean, Bill's right. That's going to have to change at some point. I mean, Tyreek Hill, you can throw the ball to him quickly, and he can make things happen. He's also a guy that can run 55 yards in a straight line down the field, and there's nothing the defense can do about it. Like, so you've got to be able to throw the ball deep. I agree. We saw Tua do that in college. I don't think his arm strength has just evaporated on him. I'm interested to see how Mike McDaniels maybe helps that with Tua this year.
I don't know what has gone on. I know he's had various injuries. But, I mean, I agree based on what we've seen in Miami. Also, Tua has thrown some of the most beautiful deep balls I've ever seen. I mean, when he was at Alabama, you're talking everything. You're talking this arm strength, the accuracy, the velocity. I mean, just spectacular arm talent. Spectacular arm talent in college. So I don't know exactly. Some of it is scheme, but I agree. There's times you're watching him, you're like, that's not the same guy. And sometimes that happens too. Sometimes that happens college to pro. But it's weird because I thought he was one of the most talented quarterbacks. I still do. He's one of the most talented quarterbacks I've ever seen in college football.
I mean, the Dolphins won 8 of 9 coming down the stretch. The only game they lost was when they got thumped by the Titans when Tannehill was doing like those two-fingered push-ups all week, waiting for the Dolphins to come in, the revenge game. I mean, he destroyed the Dolphins. Other than that, they won 8 of 9 down the stretch. Obviously, we all know about the Brian Flores situation. So, I mean, they've got some talent. Do you think with the addition of Tyreek Hill, they can be a threat in the AFC East to Buffalo?
I don't know. That still seems like a little bit of a stretch. Let's not forget that New England's also in this division.
They are.
And hey,
so are the Jets.
And so are the Jets, who almost got Tyreek Hill.
They did.
So close. I don't know. I don't know if I buy that. I mean, it's just, you know, again, you got a totally new coaching regime, and so you don't know what that's going to look like. I think Flores is a good coach. I think he was a good coach, especially, you know, winning despite trying to be bribed to lose. I mean, that's impressive.
Impressive.
Yeah, but at least they're, again, going to be interesting. And this is probably, I mean, this is like, okay, Tua, here you go. Now, yeah, you know, new coach, so there's also, you still have the runway of new offense, new coach, all that stuff. But this is definitely a prove-it year for Tua, and he's got to be able to take advantage of what he has now. He has a guy who can get behind anyone.
By the way, there are pictures coming out from Cincinnati's Pro Day, and you can just see Vrabel like right in the middle of things going on. Like there's an offensive lineman blocking drill going on, and Vrabel's like 6 feet away.
He's not actually in the drill?
He's not actually in the drill.
He'll be in the drill. He'll be in there.
That could happen at some point.
Vrabel's going to be out there like sacking Desmond Ridder while he tries to make those sweet throws, you know. It's like Malik Willis. Malik Willis is out there chasing. Hey, look at that throw. Vrabel actually smashes into Ridder and knocks him unconscious. You know?
Do we think there's going to come a day where Vrabel's going to have to stop like taking hits from NFL linemen at some point?
He seems to love it, and they seem to love hitting him. So, I mean, if all sides are enjoying it, I guess keep going.
I guess we'll
see.
He's
still a big dude.
He's a gigantic human being. There's no question about that. Joe, we talked earlier in the show about Robert Woods. He had his introductory press conference yesterday with the Titans. What do you think the addition of Robert Woods does for A.J. Brown in terms of what he could open up maybe for A.J. in this offense? Or could it be Woods that benefits from having A.J. Brown more in the offense? What do you think? How do you think that dynamic works?
Yeah, I don't think Robert Woods is a guy who's going to make a defense, you know, take emphasis off A.J. Brown, but he's a good number two. That's the thing. With Julio Jones and what we thought he was, or I guess I'll just raise my hand, what I thought he was over the summer.
Well, I thought he was too.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people did, you know, based on he still looked good when he played in 2020, but that was the whole, ooh, man, what do you do now? Pick your poison, you know? You got Derrick Henry. You still have the Derrick Henry, A.J. Brown, pick your poison, but I think if things work out the way the Titans hope, this offense will look more like the 2020 offense in that you have a clear outside threat in A.J. Brown, but you have a good number two who's going to take advantage of good matchups in Corey Davis. That's Robert Woods now. And then you actually have a tight end who can be a nice outlet and a reliable target for your quarterback, who also is good in the run game so that you have that a little bit less predictability ideally, and that's, of course, Austin Hooper. So if Hooper and Woods can be basically what Davis and Jonnu Smith were, then you would think the Titans would be able to get back to that kind of offensive consistency. But then the next question, though, or the next thing to add on to that is that the offensive line still has to be better.
Well, and I think you're hoping that Robert Woods is kind of like a better version of what Corey Davis was. Corey Davis was a really good player his last year with the Titans. I think you and I would both agree that Robert Woods is a better player than Corey Davis.
Yes, but
I have not studied their run blocking film side by side, so I couldn't tell you.
Well, and in that way, we're talking about two elite guys.
Yeah.
But I would say, I mean, seriously, if Robert Woods gives you Corey Davis of 2020 for a couple of years, I think you'd take that. I mean, I think he could be better. Could be. Still coming off the ACL, and you got to take that into account too. But if he's in right around there, that works. That will play. And then if you add a young receiver with real vertical threat to him, what does that do? That's beyond what they had in 2020.
I'm seeing a text message that Michelle has sent us where it's like Kirby Smart doing one of these Brian Kelly style videos with, I guess,
scared.
A Georgia recruit. Is this the new thing in the SEC now where like these coaches are just going to take freaky videos with some of the players coming in? Like Brian Kelly has started a trend of, I mean, at least Kirby Smart's not dancing in this video. He's just very awkwardly staring into the camera.
What is the deal with the let's stand back to back and then the camera will go around us in a circle?
Guys, I have the best idea. That can be a promo video for you two. You two can stand back to back and we'll take,
yeah,
I'll run around it. Taking a video of you two.
I'd rather wash your car with a toothbrush.
By the way, when's that happening?
Oh, yeah. Well, listen, actually, finally dropping the car off on Friday to get the mirror fixed. So that's only been 2 months in the working, but I'm about to get a new car. So I'll wait till I get it dirty, Joe.
Okay.
There we go.
That's fine. We're moving into warmer weather, so I'm happier to get out there, you know, maybe a little tank top, a little Speedo, do a little car washing, you know. Yeah, this is, this is just Kirby ripping off Brian Kelly. What's up with this?
Well, at least he already has a Southern accent, so he can't go too far that way in that direction. That's good to know. I guess he could really, you know, just extend it if he wanted to.
What if all of a sudden he's like, hello, laddies, we're going to win the Natty. The Natties will be rolling into Georgia. Sorry.
Beautiful.
Yes.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Preds assistant coach Todd Richards. We'll get his thoughts on the Preds as they take on the Vegas Golden Knights tonight. Let me tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. You can protect yourself against upsets this March with bracket parlay insurance on FanDuel Sportsbook. Right now, all customers can get up to $25 back each day if your parlay of three legs or more falls one leg short. So maybe you like Gonzaga to win, you like Kansas to win, and you like Villanova. You can take it any way you want to take it. Parlays are great because you can turn a small bet into a big-time payday. And with cash out, the ball's in your court, so you can close out your bet whenever you want before the game is over. If you're new to FanDuel, just sign up with promo code ROB. Then you can bet the bracket all tournament long. Once again, that promo code is ROB, exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. If exactly one leg loses, refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. NCAA tournament, SBK wager required. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Back in Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30 plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Preds assistant coach Todd Richards. Todd, what's going on? How are we doing?
Good morning, guys. Early morning out here in Las Vegas.
It is an early morning out there. We appreciate you taking time.
Everybody's still awake, right?
Everyone's still awake? I hope not. Well, I hope certain people are up, but I hope the other guys are still sleeping.
That's right. That's very well done. So, Todd, obviously a huge game tonight for you guys against Vegas. What do you make of the road trip so far? You get a 6-3 win against Anaheim. Tough one the other night in L.A. Overall, what do you think about where your group is right now?
Well, you know what? We're going in a good direction. You go back through games sometimes. You know, there's been times this year where you come out of a win and you feel pretty good about the win. You go back and watch the tape and you realize you probably weren't as good as what you felt the night before. And I think coming out of that L.A. game the other night, it was a little bit like that. You know, it's tough in this league when you spot a team a 3-0 lead early in the game, and then you're trying to play catch-up. It's too hard in this league. And, you know, we put ourselves in a decent position. We had some good chances, you know, at 3-1 to make it 3-2. And, you know, you score a goal there, you never know. But generally you go down 3-0, that's what you're going to get. And we just have to be careful in how we start games. Back-to-back in this league is tough. Doesn't matter who you're playing. But you got to try to set yourself up for the best way to have success. And, you know, if you aren't ready to start games and you're down 2-0, 3-0, that's going to be a tough comeback.
So if you play your style, Todd, and you know, shift after shift, there's a, you know, the identity you guys talk about all the time. If that's in place, but then you make, you know, a couple just critical errors that are just costly, that end up in your net. Like, how do you approach that as a coach if you're still, for the most part, playing your way, but then you just have these mistakes?
You stay with it. You don't deviate from you know what allows you to have success. And I think we know it. We know the recipe. I think the players know it. They know the recipe. And sometimes that's not an easy thing to do either, is stay on task and how you want to play. You know, we're a heavy forecheck team. We're a physical team. And we have that reputation now around the league. And you can't get away from that. I think our physicality sets up and creates a lot of opportunities for us. And it might not be in the first period, but it might be in the third period. Might be in the second period. And you know, I think by doing the same thing over and over, your opposition, as the game moves on, they're expecting you to do certain things. And if I've been hit all game and I'm going back on a puck and I'm expecting to be hit, sometimes they make a little bit of a quicker play with the puck that might result in a turnover. And now it's a chance for us to play in the offensive zone. So it's a delicate thing, and it's getting the players to understand that, recognize that, because there's going to be times when we're down. And actually, we've done a pretty good job of when we've been down in games to battle back, get ourselves back into games, and come out on the right side of it. But when you're, you know, digging yourself a 3-0 hole, that's a pretty big hole to get out of in this league.
Present assistant coach Todd Richards on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Todd, we've talked to you about this before. I mean, obviously you've worked with so many good defensemen during your time in the NHL. From your vantage point, what's it like to watch Roman Josi doing what he's doing right now? 78 points, 62 games. He's right in the thick of it in the Norris Trophy race. There are people talking about he should be in the thick of it for the Hart Trophy race as well. Just how do you describe, you know, what you're watching and what you're seeing right now from your captain?
It's very impressive, and you know, he doesn't sacrifice his defensive zone or defensive responsibility. He thinks the game and sees the game a lot differently than most players, and I think the elite do. And it doesn't matter what it is. Excuse me if it's going to get a little bit loud here for a second. I'm outside and there's a vehicle coming at me.
Hoping not right at you.
No, not right at me, but he's just exceptional. He sees things. There are times during a game and I'll be like, you know, a play happened on the ice and I'm going to be like, hey, the next time, he's like, that guy was there, so I should go there. Like, he knows it. He sees it. And it's easy for me to sit on a bench and, you know, take the iPad and pause it and show him. You know, because it's the power of pause, you know, but he's doing it while the guys are moving all around and he sees those types of things. So it's really exceptional. It's fun. You know, people always ask me, you know, what's it like to coach? And I just say, you know, I'm a fan and I got the best seat in the whole building because I get to watch these guys play at a really very close to the action. So it's been fun to watch. You know, he deserves all the credit that he's getting right now because, you know, and the other thing, he cares about the team. He cares about the Nashville Predators, and that's why he's got the captain on his chest.
Talking to Preds assistant coach Todd Richards. Todd, Jeremy Lauzon, what have you seen so far, and what do you believe that he can be for this team?
Well, it's very early yet, you know, just two games, and, you know, I've been in this league, so I've seen him play. But I, you know, it's funny when you're playing the opposition, you don't watch much of the opposition. You're generally watching your own team. So for me, it's just getting to know him a little bit, you know, as a player that plays on the ice, but also a person off the ice. And you know, so far very excited about his potential. And we're only, you know, two games in, and we're only, what, 3, 4, 5 days in with him on the team. But just seems like a really good kid off the ice. You know, it's when you talk with certain players, you know, sometimes you can get a feel for them just by your conversation, but also their body language and just how they're looking at you and their eyes. And you really feel like when you're talking to him, he gets it, and you're getting it that you feel back there's an energy from him. And then it you know, kind of translates onto the ice. You know, you shake his hand. He's got real thick hands, so you know he's strong and moves pretty well on the ice. From what I've seen going back through the video, I think he sees the game pretty well. But I still think there's a lot of room for improvement from him. So we're excited to have him with our group. Where he fits in and down the road or you know, this year, next year, and future, who knows? But he should be a good NHL defenseman for years.
So, Todd, how beneficial do you think it can be for your group coming down the stretch here that the style of play that you guys try to bring to the table every night, you know, as games get tighter, as you know, the playoffs start to get closer and things ramp up around the league, how beneficial is it in your mind that the way that you guys play the game is basically playoff style hockey at this point?
Yeah, are you talking with Jeremy or just our team in general?
Just your team in general, yes.
Yeah, well, I think the other thing that has helped us out this year is playing a lot of close games, especially early on in the year. And, you know, that's playoff hockey. And you're gearing yourself up. And I consider this, you know, the final 15 games, 18 games left of the season, they're going to be playoff-type games because they have that much importance with them. So playing early games and one-goal games, I think, has helped us out learning how to play in tight games. Playing that physical game, because that is playoff hockey. It's being able to respond to not only give the physicality, but also take the physicality and being able to deal with it and respond and continue to play your game and your style. And we've been doing this now for, you know, a year and a half, where we really established our game last year. So I think the players understand, they get it. We have a reputation from around the league now, which is a good thing. But I think also teams now are prepared for that. And they know if they don't bring that same physical style that there's a chance that they could get pushed out of the building. So we're starting to see now that teams are responding to our physicality.
Todd, how do you view this matchup tonight against a team that, you know, very talented, frankly, not in the position I think most people expect them to be in at this point, really needing a win, very important in the playoff standings as well. But how do you view this matchup?
You know, whenever you come to Vegas, the building, I think, and there's other buildings around the league too. I think our building in particular is the same thing too. I think you expect certain things. And I think when teams come into our building, with the energy from our fans in the building and the way that we're able to play, this is what you're going to get. And I think coming here to Las Vegas, you kind of know what it's going to be fast. They're highly motivated based off of, you know, what's happened the last few games, where they're at in their season, but also what's going on with other teams. I mean, we're kind of both in the same spot. We're just a little up ahead of them in the standings, but we're being chased by other teams. And so you get that desperation. And the first 10 minutes are going to be really important here tonight, and just how we manage the game. I'm expecting them to come out hard, you know, play physical, play fast, try to create some opportunities early and get the crowd into it. And I think if we can, you know, well, it would be great if we could come in and establish our game and go after them. That would be great. But at least keep it, you know, right around the 50-yard line. You know, keep it in that position for right there. And after 10 minutes, you know, kind of settle into the game. And then hopefully at some point we can look to take over the game.
Fred's assistant coach Todd Richards, our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. Todd, really appreciate you making time for us this morning. Good luck tonight against Vegas, and we'll talk to you down the road.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. Todd Richards, Fred's assistant coach, our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. We'll take your thoughts on the Predators wherever you want to take it, on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. 1025. Speaking of the Predators, you could qualify for a chance to win a pair of tickets in the Game Changer section coming up as the Preds take on the Philadelphia Flyers this Sunday at Bridgestone Arena, and a ride on the Zamboni during one of the intermissions as well. Be caller number 3, 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will qualify to win those pair of tickets against the Flyers and a ride on the Zamboni during one of the intermissions. 615-737-1025. The winner will be announced tomorrow morning during the 9 o'clock hour. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Did your brackets get busted? Well, we've got another chance for you to win some great prizes with the 16-team Game Bracket Challenge. Go to thegamenashville.com/bracket challenge now to play for a chance to win a pair of tickets to see Shinedown coming up at Bridgestone Arena on May the 4th. The Game Bracket Challenge is brought to you by Coach's Corner Sports Grill in Spring Hill, Days Delta 8, and Wager. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning. Taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Dennis texting in says, yeah, more hand diagnosis. This is coming from Todd Richards' interview last segment, strong hands from Jeremy Lozon. I like it.
We're going to talk about, you know, we're the only show in town that's going to be honest with you about hand size, hand strength, possibly manicures that have been given. Yeah. You know, I mean, I think we really explore, but we can explore hands. We can be better. We can be better exploring hands. Magic hands. I had a friend in college that some of the women called them magic hands. I don't have time to explain that story right now. Let's just say I won't name him, but he'd get a little friendly. Look at Michelle. He'd get a little friendly. You know, like,
I think everybody can pick up what you're putting down,
like,
right,
hey,
now.
Magic hands. Yeah, get magic hands away from me. Yeah. It wasn't like, you know, too bad. You know what I'm saying? But yeah. We need to scrap this whole thing. Can we go back? Can we rewind? Can we erase this? Look at D-Mace. Like, what have you done?
You should have had one of your famous mutes there.
That was a very Toonses moment from Joe Rex right there. Good stuff.
Toonses, well, by the way, gripping the wheel with small cat hands, but still gripping the wheel. Yeah.
I don't know where to go from here, I'm just going to go back to the text line.
I can't wait to see where you go.
Matthew from Jelton on the text line says, I feel really good about this Preds team. I feel like we can hang with anyone if we play consistently. This is coming from Matthew from Jelton. I think Matthew speaks for a lot of the Preds fan base. I am, regardless of who the first round matchup is, and yes, I'm already fast forwarding there because I think they're going to make the playoffs. Regardless of who the first round matchup is, I'm interested to see how that goes because I think this team can give anybody trouble.
Yeah, no. I mean, you know, it's a team that I don't know if this team has a series win in it, but I do know that the way it plays, it doesn't have to change because there are teams that are like, nah, you got to get ready for playoff hockey. You know, I mean, Colorado, right? Everything, oh, the space goes away. The hits get, everybody's finishing their checks now, right? I mean, there are teams that have to adjust. Preds don't have to adjust. What they do plays in the spring.
Dave texting in says, great point by Stanley. I could probably stop reading text right there. Just leave it where it is.
Yeah.
But I'll keep going. If the Preds find a way to win a round or two, it's better to play Colorado after they face St. Louis and Dallas in a couple of brutal series. And in parentheses, it says Minnesota's no factor. This is coming from Dave on the text line. There are people that will argue both sides of that. They'll say maybe it's better to just take them on in the first round when things are fresh, or maybe it is better the deeper you go in the playoffs.
I mean, to me, it's like in the NCAA tournament, if you're in a bracket and you'd much rather get the 3 than the 4 in a lot of years, because usually like the 1s are at a different level. You never know. In a given year, it might be 2 teams are elite, or it might be 6 teams are under the top tier. But typically, you just avoid that top seed and let someone else take them out, or at the least bang them up a little bit, you know? So
yeah,
that's what it, but yeah, if you happen to get them first, then maybe that can work out for you too.
Role reversal from 2018, potentially. We'll see.
Yeah, that's right.
Adam in Portland texting in says, the biggest problem with the Preds isn't the Forsberg contract. It's the fact that our defense isn't where it needs to be every night. Offensively, we're built for a run, but Ekholm needs to step it up, and Saros can't play every single game. So Big Save Dave needs to actually make some big saves. I'm not too impressed with that guy. This is coming from Adam from Portland on the text line.
He was playing well before last game.
Yeah, last couple times, I think he's been pretty good. Now, honestly, he's not really been in there all that much this year, so it's hard for me to really have an opinion too strong one way or the other on him. I mean, when you're playing once every 30 days, that's hard to do when you're a goalie. Now, it's going to change coming down the stretch here, and it already has changed a little bit the last couple of weeks, but, like, Saros is playing basically every night.
Yeah.
By the way, like, there's this thought out there that from some Preds fans that, like, Ekholm's been bad this year. Like, I don't know what you're watching. Like, I think he's been pretty good. Now, the offensively, yeah, his numbers have not been where maybe some expected to be, but I think especially when he and Carrier are together, they've been pretty good.
Yeah, I have no complaints about how Ekholm's played this year.
I got a text that says, Tuesday is very worrying. Can't have that bad of a showing tonight. If they have as bad of a showing tonight as they had Tuesday, they'll lose 9-0. Like, you got to – I would not be too concerned about the showing being as bad tonight as it was on Tuesday. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to win, but they were really sloppy the other night against L.A.
Yeah, obviously. I mean, this team typically doesn't put two stinkers in a row. Even if they lose two games in a row, two bad performances in a row, that hasn't happened a whole lot this year.
I got a texture that says, Michelle picked a Gordie Howe hat trick, goal, assist, fight for Tanner Janot.
That's right.
Did you throw the assist in there too?
Well, technically I said Yossi but with the assist, but hey, why not? We'll give one to Tanner Janot.
Okay.
And if I get all three, I get 3 points.
Sure. Is that what we're doing?
Yes.
No.
Okay. The Gordie Howe
maybe,
hat trick.
Maybe that would be the scoring system on the six, but not on this show.
Maybe so.
Not on this boomer show.
I've been waiting to play that.
There it is.
You think our old pal Jeremy Pruitt could join us on our Cracker Barrel show?
Oh, my
gosh. I don't
think
there's any asparagus at Cracker Barrel, so he wouldn't have to worry about that.
When is Cracker Barrel getting asparagus? Maybe if they had had it, Jeremy Pruitt would know what the hell it is.
You know, maybe so. Matthew texting in says, there have been two different Preds teams this season. Like when we played Toronto or Anaheim, there's another team like this last game against L.A. Our success depends on which team shows up. I mean, I hear you, but for the most part, you can say that about pretty much every team, save maybe Tampa Bay, Colorado, and, I don't know, Calgary this year, Florida. Like even Florida, there have been some stretches they've gone through where you're just like, ooh, yikes, not great.
All right, real quick, which Sweet 16 game excites you the most tonight? Did you know the Sweet 16 is happening tonight?
Yes, I know the Sweet 16 is happening tonight. You know, I'm honestly, I'm pulling for Arkansas, even though I picked Gonzaga to win the whole thing. I guess what game excites me the most tonight is Duke Texas Tech, because I want to see Coach K lose. So
I can second that.
Quiet. You be quiet. Yeah. I'm sorry, Michelle. Go ahead.
No, I just said I second that. I want to see Coach K lose. I want Texas Tech to win. And I don't know if Villanova, Michigan, is that tonight?
That's tonight.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I want Michigan to beat Nova so bad. My uncle's a huge Villanova fan. And I never hear the end of it. We're the real Wildcats. We're the real blue. Like, national championship. Yeah,
I was wondering why. It's funny because I'm
changing my vote. I'm now rooting heavily for Villanova.
I'm looking at this Villanova V. It does kind of look like the Vanderbilt V.
It does. Just there's blue. Some similarities.
But I'm most excited for Houston, Arizona. I'm pumped for this game. Man, Houston looks so good. So you can
stay
you
up,
forget
watch
how,
that whole thing?
Yeah, I will.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to be a mess tomorrow, but it's worth it, man. I mean, you got the Preds late, too, so that at least sure. Like you feel like you're multitasking and then you watch the whole Preds game, too. You know, so it'll be good. It's worthwhile. But yeah, Houston, Arizona. Houston looks great. Zona, oh, man, they almost lost to TCU. But frankly, I'm just way more excited about this game than I would have been about Houston, TCU.
Do you think the Hogs can take down the Zags tonight? Any chance?
I mean, I've watched quite a bit of the Zags the first two games. They could have lost, but Georgia State was with them for 30 minutes.
Yep.
Memphis could have beat them. Yes, but Arkansas has to play an incredible game. It's out west. They got to play absolutely the best. But if they do, if they play their absolute A game, I think we're gonna have a good one there.
Can I just point out how much I love that Rexro just forced NCAA tournament basketball discussion in the last 3 minutes of the show?
Thank you. Thank
I love
you.
It, Joe.
Thank you.
He's like, okay, Robbie, shut up. Let's stop.
Hey,
talking
we'll
about
be talking that on the six.
Well, I was just gonna say I did this because I knew Michelle would like it, so maybe she'd invite me on the six. Probably not.
Probably not gonna work. There's probably a pretty good chance it's your forever ban from the six. Just a Rex Road free zone on the
well,
six. Michelle, is that tonight?
They should have
actually let you
it's
in the building.
Tonight at six.
You guys should have a geriatric, you know, like every once in a while segment, you know, where you ask us about what like World War II was like and stuff.
But listen, D Mace is cool. He could come on the six.
D Mace and I are very similar in age. We're college classmates. So if D Mace is cool enough to come on, then I should be too.
That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. Hopefully, we're cool enough to be back on the air tomorrow at 6 a.m. Darren Donica Chase
Magic
up next.
Hands.
This is ESPN 1025, The Game.